Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back, everyone. I want to welcome back to the show the one and only Mr. Peter Kling. Peter, how are you tonight?
Very good, Chris. I appreciate the invite back.
Oh, great, great. I'd like to get started going back to our beginnings. Almost every ancient account of human origin, it would seem there's some sort of intervention or maybe genetic manipulation. Would you agree to that?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, that's what the fossil record shows. If we go back to, let's start at the Precambrian period. This is over 500 million years ago. Mm-hmm. And essentially, depending on which scientific research you want to listen to, nothing existed on this planet for about a billion to 2 to 3 billion years, way back when it was what we know as extremophiles. But for the most part, it was cyanobacteria that that was the major organism on the face of the planet, or actually underwater. Earth was once upon a time a water world. And we know that pretty much by everything that was around in the Cambrian period was below the surface of the ocean. And here's the thing about the Cambrian period. The Precambrian period, the most sophisticated life that we have around are one-celled animals like amoebas and so forth, or simple jellyfish. And then all of a sudden there's this explosion of DNA. And we have a greater variety of life during the Cambrian period than has ever been on this planet since. It would be easier to explain how New York City was built overnight than to explain where all the genetic information came from during the Cambrian period. Now, we know that New York City wasn't literally built overnight. Right. But if it was, it would be easier to explain that, because there's so much genetic diversity that all of a sudden just shows up. Where did it come from? And we're playing by the dates or the years given by the so-called experts in their field in paleontology that allows us to get back to, you know, at least have some sort of an assimilation of a timeline. However, there's been research as of late based on tectonic, Mount St. Helens is a good example. There's been a lot of research since Mount St. Helens. And they look at the erosion that has taken place since that volcano, and they say, wow, for the amount of water that's passing through here, the erosion is fantastic. But most of the erosion happened very shortly after the volcano, or after they had the liquid mudslides. So when they look at the Grand Canyon, they say, wow, there's so many years of evolution recorded here, but they get to the bottom of the Grand Canyon and say, hey, there's a billion years missing. Why is there a billion? Where did it go? Where did a billion years go? Maybe all that sediment that covered over that whole area before the canyon was built came in layers in a very short amount of time. When I say very short amount of time, we might be talking biblical flood time, because of the massive erosion that has taken place throughout the Grand Canyon. So where did a billion years go? Maybe they were never there to start with. But here's what we know. We know since the Cambrian period where we have all of this DNA, and science's explanation is lame when it comes to this. They say, oh, well, the oxygen levels got up to about 23% and life just spontaneously created itself. Please. Where did the genetic information come from? To have that much massive amounts of genetic information delivered all at one time period requires intervention of some sort. And so I say, hey, the evidence is obvious. We had genetic engineers. Well, what do you mean the evidence is obvious? Here's where it took the intelligence to put years of biblical education and scientific knowledge together. And when we go to Genesis, the second chapter, the 21st through the 23rd verse, it says that God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I'm going to create a helper for him. So he causes a sleep to come over the man. He opens up the flesh. He removes a rib. He closes the flesh, and he proceeds to build a woman from the rib. And he brings the woman before the man, and the man says, at last, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one was taken from man. I shall call her woman. And we have the first record of genetic engineering. So the next question is, who are the genetic engineers?
Exactly.
You see, now, when you go, there's a caveat that comes into this, because when we go back to the chapter before, Genesis 1, God says, let us create man in our image. Okay, does God look human or human-esque? Is he an old man with a long white beard, long white hair, floats around on clouds, likes to listen to harp music? Well, according to Michelangelo, that's what it seemed like, but okay. Let's get real and let's apply some science here. If we know, first of all, I'm going to just step back. For anybody who has any real interest, forget everything that the church or religion has taught about the Bible. There is what I just talked about as the first account of genetic engineering. Guess what, Father? Holy mystery solved. Okay? So what was a holy mystery for centuries all of a sudden just got solved with genetic engineering. When do we discover genetic engineering? The mid-20th century. Oh, when do we actually, when we discovered DNA, and then we figured out that we could genetically manipulate DNA, and we've come a long way since then. There's no telling what the good scientists at DARPA have done with their DNA program, but they'll never tell us. But I'm sure that it's one of the most advanced programs on the planet.
Of course.
And you know, there are some really scary things going on because now we can play God. Think about that. We can play the creator through genetic manipulation. So we have attained the knowledge of the gods, so to speak. But we don't believe in gods anymore. You see, this is where science comes in. But to truly understand who Yahweh is, Father Yahweh, the creator, Yahuwah, Jehovah, this creative force of the universe, we go back to string theory. And string theory gives us a very reasonable explanation. It takes us back to the singularity. Now, if we apply biblical scripture and just some simple science, we're told that God is the Alpha and the Omega. Before him, nothing existed, and after him, nothing shall exist.
Right.
And so now, how does that happen? You can't destroy energy. You can only transform it. That's one of the first laws of physics. So if nothing existed, nothing in our world existed, that would mean all the physical energy vanished. Where would it vanish to? You see, you can't destroy it. So if it's the end of the event horizon, the only reasonable explanation is that it's pure dynamic energy. It would return to its most pure former state, which probably is what we call the God particle. Antimatter. See, matter wouldn't exist anymore. And so it would all be antimatter, wouldn't
it? Brings us to what they're doing over at CERN.
Exactly. And boy, there's a whole segue there, because essentially what we experienced with CERN maybe very a lot of things. We'll cover that in just a minute.
Sure.
But yeah, what they did at CERN 2012, 2013 was essentially pluck a hair out of the head of God. Now, God is an energy force, and by discovering the God particle, they had to destroy it, right?
Right.
And that may have set off a rift in time across the universe, and we have the Mandela effect ever since. We'll talk more about that in a minute, but let's go back to the genetic engineers.
Yeah.
So we have life on Earth. Life on Earth is conducive to the planet. The Earth is a living organism. We know that. It's been scientifically proven. It has a heartbeat. The heartbeat used to be 7.83 hertz, the Schumann resonance. Now that heartbeat races all the way up to over 100 hertz, and that is that put, if we were experiencing 100 hertz, if our brains were operating at 100 hertz, we'd be in extreme panic mode only for a few seconds because our brains would overheat and we would pass out.
Yes, it's been reaching amazing frequencies.
Yes, and that much frequency. Think of a microwave oven. How does a microwave oven work? Vibrates the molecules, right? The water molecules within the food. And so those that vibration speeds up. It gets hot. It causes friction. It gets hot. And your food cooks. Well, when the Schumann resonance of Earth speeds up, what's happening? Is it exciting the magma? Or is the magma becoming excited, which is speeding up the Schumann resonance? Or is this something else that is causing this totally? And we'll save that for later on in the show. More biblical prophecy to come. But, you know, here's the fact. The Bible is essentially 6,000 years of a history of 6,000 years of alien involvement in human history. It starts off with the gods, ETs. The first alien invasion of planet Earth is what? Oh, the sons of the true God saw that Earth women were hot. And so they took wives for themselves, all who they chose, and fathered Nephilim, a race like no other on this planet, genetically huge people.
Now, these watchers, these Nephilim, would you say they are interdimensional or extraterrestrial? Well,
now, there's a difference. The watchers, it's in Genesis, they are talked about as the sons of the true God that come to Earth. But we get a much more clear picture in the book of Enoch, where it talks about them as the watchers. These may actually be what we refer to as guardian angels, at least the loyal ones were. But those who left their post, and according to the book of Enoch, there were about 200 of them, and they came down and they had intercourse with Earth women. And this was essentially interspecies breeding. Now, it's more than likely the Watchers were very high-ranking, powerful interdimensionals because they had the ability, if you read the book of Enoch, he was dealing with entities that had the ability to form to turn from the form of fire to the form of man and back to the form of fire. Well, what's the form of fire? Energy? Pure dynamic energy suitable for interdimensional travel? See, that we can't, there's not enough information to draw a direct conclusion. So we have to, you know, kind of guess at this. Right. We know we're dealing with very powerful interdimensional, most likely interdimensional creatures or beings, entities, that had the ability to transform that dynamic energy into a physical form that was close enough to our DNA that they could even create sperm and cause impregnation. So, you know, a lot of things had to come into alignment there. Now, the Nephilim were the children. They were high-bred sons. They were all male. And they grew to enormous heights. Not that these weren't just like, you know, 12, 15 feet high people. These were, think back to Greek mythology and the Cyclops. I mean, we're dealing with subhumans. That's really what they were. But they were 50 feet taller or taller, depending on how you want to translate the measurement. The shortest they were 50 feet. Depending on how you want to calculate the measurement given in the book of Enoch, they could have been well over 100 feet.
Yeah.
So that's what we're dealing with. Now, we don't see 100-foot giants walking the earth today, do we? We don't even see 50 or 25-foot giants walking the earth. However, we've got when we go back and we read the account, Yahweh gets really upset with over what's happened, and he, when you read the account in the scriptures, he said he's going to destroy the world or life on the planet because he felt hurt at his heart that he created man, and except that Noah was faithful. He was a good guy, and so he was worth saving or giving the information so he could save himself and the family and his family. See, he had to put forth the effort, and there we go into another segment of the account. But the first alien invasion that's recorded is the Watchers. The second alien invasion that we have recorded is the Anunnaki. Now, what I find really interesting is that we have a lot of New Age Anunnaki believers, Anunnaki worshipers. There are people who are actually worshiping Anu as the creator of all things. Interesting. Anu is the king god of the Anunnaki, and he was the god of a flat-domed earth. He was the flat-domed earth. Huh, interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so you have people that, all the flat earthers are essentially Anunnaki worshippers, and they don't even know.
Huh.
Yeah. Anu was the god over a flat-domed earth. So there you go.
Yes, and I've never heard of that interpretation exactly, but there are many new interpretations coming out about the Anunnaki. You are right about that. And you had mentioned that, you know, how our humanity has been reset. And many times throughout history, every few thousand years or however many thousand years it happens. Now, would you say that this happens intentionally, or is this a natural cycle?
There's always a natural cycle within life. It's just how that natural cycle affects us here on planet Earth. The issue or the problems. Deeper into the scriptures, we come up with some interesting numbers, and they correlate with our interdimensional multiverse. Mostly everybody knows that 7 is God's number. It's the spiritually complete number. And then we know the number 666. 6 is spiritually incomplete. 666 is to the third degree. So it's completely spiritually incomplete. And now we know that also biblical numbers give 10 is the biblical number for completeness for humans. We have 10 fingers, 10 toes. We have 10 base counting system. What's even more interesting is that we are dimensions 8, 9, and 10 of a 10-dimensional multiverse. Well, actually, it's 11 when we consider the dimension of time. But time is the great variable across the whole multiverse. It's a variable across Earth. It's a variable across our solar system, and it's a variable across our own universe. If you travel from here to Alpha Centauri and came back, traveling at the speed of light, it would take you 4.4 years. By the time you got back, you will have aged eight years, almost 9 years. The problem is that your children, who were just young at the time, would have been grown old and died, and your grandchildren would be old people. However, you would have only aged 8 years. So physical space travel, even going at the speed of light, if you could, is absurd. It's absurd. By the time you got anywhere and came back, the dynamics on Earth would change to the point where the technology would have outgrown what you were given to in order to travel that fast. So the only thing that makes any sense as far as space travel is being able to travel interdimensionally.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
In other words, you step out of this sector, walk across the hall, and step into the next sector, 500 million light years across the way. You know, so physical space travel is absurd. So all the alien crafts and all those nice pieces of equipment that secret military has that people are saying, oh, look at the UFOs. Yeah, well, made in USA. You can get over it. All that technology is basically useless once you get beyond Earth. Where are you going to go? Okay, so we can get to Mars in a day or less. How long is it going to take to get to Alpha Centauri? Oh, traveling in one of those? Yeah, you're going to die before you get there. So that's just it. Unless you're traveling interdimensionally, you're not going anywhere. And so now what are we dealing with? We know that we have aliens. It's recorded right throughout the scripture, all the interactions with angels. I love Ezekiel. You get to Ezekiel, it's like, okay, all the UFOs show up. You know, it's the wheels within wheels, and the chariot of God shows up. He's seated on his throne. And what are we experiencing here? Go back to Exodus. I love Exodus. Exodus happened approximately 3,600 years ago. It's in the same cycle as Nibiru. The Coburn Bible in chapter 3 records what it talks about the destroyer, the destroying star, and how people it basically says the same things there that it says in the Bible. Within biblical prophecy, people will become faint out of fear. Many people will die, but the strong of heart will survive. That's what it says in the Coburn Bible. The Coburn Bible was an Egyptian Bible that was kept by the Celts. So it's been around for, their description has been around just as long as the description in Exodus. And what were they describing? The interaction of this brown dwarf star. Brown dwarf star is an iron planet, is an iron star. It's a star in its last throes of development. Starts off with hydrogen, and as it goes through its burning process, the last element that it can create is iron. And so essentially, what we might have passing through our solar system here is a giant iron magnet. That it rains iron on an iron star, and there's all ferrous oxide or rust, iron rust in its outer atmosphere, and it leaves a trail of debris of iron and rust. And so it would look like the sun with wings, hence Nibiru.
And would you attribute the some of the major changes we're seeing now on Earth to this brown dwarf?
Appear that it is directly affecting us and the sun, and everything's starting to match up. And it doesn't just match up with the scriptures and the prophecies there. It matches up, as I mentioned, with the Coburn Bible. It matches up with all of the prophecies going on now. One of the ones that everybody was looking for, it was the end of the world, 2012, December 21st, and it never happened. Obviously, we're still here. Or did it happen? We'll talk about this now, because here we're going to talk about CERN.
Right.
Everybody's been concerned that CERN is going to open up the pit, the pit of hell, essentially, and talked about in Revelation chapter 9, which releases a plague upon the earth. It's opening a dimension to Tartarus, where the watchers were thrown into. It's a prison dimension. And it's believed that that's what they're trying to open and release the watchers and all whatever other ill-fated entities were thrown into this prison dimension to begin with. That may have happened in 2012, 2013. Here's the backstory. They found the God particle, or they believe they found the God particle in 2012, but they reconfirmed it. You know, they got to redo the test, make sure they can duplicate what they did, and they reduplicated in 2013. Yes, they found the God particle, and that itself may have caused a rift, because that God particle that they found is in every single thing that exists. And if it's all tied together, if everything's tied together, they caused a rift in time. Now, people saying, what do you mean? Okay, let's take a look at what's happening on Earth after they find and confirm that they have found the God particle. The first strange thing that happens is Nelson Mandela is reported to have died on June 26, 2013, but all of a sudden he gets better and he goes home. And then he officially dies December 5th. Now, that ain't too hard to explain because they obviously wanted him. He was a Knight of Malta. He was a subject to the Vatican. And they obviously wanted to use this as a ritual. So they put him on ice. His family requested that he be removed from life support. The courts granted their request. He was unplugged and he died. Oh, but they changed the news report. That report was only out for a few hours. Now, how do you go from being on life support to being unplugged to getting better and going home in a week? Because that's the official story of what happened.
Right.
Only to die again December 5th. Well, what were we supposed to see before December 5th? I think it was November 28th we were supposed to see something. Something, a civilization, the greatest thing ever to happen within a civilization's lifetime. Comet Ison. We were supposed to see that go around the backside of the sun. And we were supposed to see it come out the other side. And then on December 16th, we were supposed to see the sign of the Mayan snake god because the 2015 prediction of the Mayan calendar running out. Oops, they forgot to carry the zero year. And so now they had to go readjust the clock, and they adjusted it to December 16th. Now, interesting thing, on December 16th, Comet Ison would have been perfectly aligned between Earth and Venus. Venus at that time was in the night sky. It was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I remember seeing it, and it was just after the sunset. There was Venus in the western sky, bright as could be. And if Comet Ison had existed, it wasn't destroyed, and I said, yes, destroyed, it would have been a big coma sitting right over the top of Venus. It would have looked like a giant exclamation point in the sky. Think about that. A sure sign of the Mayan gods returning. But we didn't see that. Anybody who watched Ison come around the backside of the sun, and you can still go back and find the YouTube videos of this, you will notice that the coma of the comet is blowing in a direction it is impossible to blow in. It was going perpendicular to the solar winds. A comet's coma always flows right along with the solar winds. So it's always pointing away from the sun. Even as it's going around the back, that coma is pointing away from the sun. It doesn't have any other choice. So how does this coma all of a sudden point a 90-degree angle to the sun? Was it exploded? A force more powerful than the sun destroyed the comet and blew its coma perpendicular to the solar winds? That's what you'll see when this comet comes around the backside of the sun.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened. So now you have this question, what destroyed Comet Ison? Because it wasn't the sun. The coma was blowing the wrong way.
Okay.
Now we've got a war of the gods going on. The Mayan gods were squashed. We didn't see their sign in the sky. What were we shown instead? We got to see the 10 days of Mandela, a ritual funeral where this just cracks me up. The most powerful man in the world at the time, Barack Obama, is standing there giving the eulogy to how great Nelson Mandela is. And there's this crazy guy standing, they didn't know he was crazy at the time, but he's certifiably crazy. He spent time in a mental institution because they found him unfit to serve, to stand trial for a necktie murder. That's where they put a tire around in South Africa. They put a tire around somebody and they set it around their neck and they set the tire alight. And if you've ever watched a tire fire, not a pleasant way to die. And that now his cohort was found sane enough to stand trial and he was sentenced to death. So this is the guy that that helped burn somebody to death, and he's standing certifiably crazy, and he's standing next to the world's most powerful man at the time, signing in a language that no sign language interpreter around the world understands, except an occasional devil horn sign. Yeah, go look that up. He's holding up the devil horns. And now this crazy man claims that while this was going on, he was seeing the whole stadium just filled with angels flying around. Okay, who's angels? And see, it's alleged that at the same time this was going on, you know, why a 10-day funeral? Okay, he was the Knight of Malta. He was a subject to the Pope. He was the hero of South Africa. A 10-day funeral? And every day it was broadcast on CNN. You know, come on, the propaganda's out there, boys. Give up on it. You're going to follow all 10 days? I see the first day, you know, a couple, and then the last day where they stick them in the ground, but all 10 days? Well, it was alleged that while this funeral was going on, there was a black cube tent. What do we see a black cube on Earth? Hello, Mecca?
Right.
There was a black cube tent set up behind the stadium, and every dignitary from every country that had shown up to the Mandela funeral signed an agreement with or a treaty with an off-planet entity called Marduk. Marduk is the Babylonian name. You know what the Anunnaki name is? Anu.
Very interesting.
Anu. And so the only country that didn't sign, even the Vatican signed. Even the Vatican signed. No surprise, because this is where the Vatican starts. Back in ancient Samaria, the Vatican actually worships the whore queen of Babylon, Sariamis. And that's exactly what she was. The historical account says that Nimrod was on his way home from one of his conquests, and he found her in an inn. And she plied her trades, and he was so taken by her that he took her back to his kingdom and eventually made her queen. And she had him killed as soon as she gained power. And she controlled the Sumerian kingdom. She made herself the goddess of the earth, the moon, and the stars. And she became the mother of God, because the whore of Babylon became pregnant after she had her husband murdered. And she claimed, oh, it's Nimrod who has come back to be with his people. And so she became the mother of God. Let's see, who does the Vatican worship? The mother of God? Oh, Holy Mary, mother of God. Yeah, Mary is Sariamis, and the Vatican celebrates Babylonian religion. Which brings us into another aspect of today's world.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you can clearly see serpent imagery in the Vatican. I mean, are these ancient bloodlines, are they still in control? And, you know, is the control come from the Vatican? Can you get a little into that?
Yeah, sure. Chris, let's go back to genetic engineering.
Okay.
We'll go right back to Genesis again, this time the third chapter. 3:15, the first prophecy of the Bible. Father Yahweh says to the serpent, I shall put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and you will strike him in the heel, but he will strike you in the head, or bruise you in the head, depending on which one you read. But one's a blow to the heel. Now, if you've ever hurt your heel, if you've just kind of bruised it or stepped on a nail, maybe, you know, you really got to be tender. That thing's going to hurt for a couple of weeks before you can finally get your weight back on it. If somebody crushes your skull, you're dead.
Yeah.
Now, the woman was not Eve, but God's woman. It was the descent, and on earth it would have been the descendants that led to the Messiah. So that would be part of the woman's seed, but it would also be the off-planet or the interdimensional seed. This is a cosmic woman, kind of like Mother Earth is not a real woman, uh-huh. but yet Mother Earth gives life to everyone and everything on the planet.
Right.
Okay, so with that, that's kind of how it applies, but only it gets a lot more personal because it talks about two seeds, the serpent seed and the woman seed. Well, and the woman seed, we know, produced the Messiah. But how many people were part of that seed before it got down to Mary, who was impregnated with a zygote, a perfect human DNA, and also Jesus' stepfather, Joseph. Both of their lineage went all the way back to David through the tribe of Judah, and then back to Noah, or back to Abraham first, then back to Noah, and then back to Adam through Seth, his son Seth. And so there's where the woman's seed came. Now, since then, it's been 2,000 years, and that woman's seed has grown, but we don't know who they are. Or do we? Let's examine the serpent seed. A serpent is what? A reptile?
Right.
See, it's not really talked about as a snake. It's talked about as a serpent. So a serpent could also be a dragon. But it's interesting, in Revelation, we get the great dragon, seven-headed, ten-horned, fiery-colored dragon that fights with Michael. But let's look toward the east. Dragon worship goes from China all the way across throughout Indonesia and Japan. They worship the dragon. They worship a serpent.
Yes.
So where's the serpent seed? Does that say all Asians have serpent seed on them? No. All Caucasians have the woman's seed? No. It's a mixture. As I said, we're talking about a lineage that's 6,000 years old now, or close to it. And so we don't know who's who exactly, except we know that those who are ruling this planet by the fact of their royal heritage are more than likely reptilian. Why? Because they're cold-blooded killers. They will start wars and sacrifice up their minions and not think about who died on the battlefield. How do 35 million humans get trafficked every year? Think about that. Who are these people that are so heartless that they're going to enslave other humans? And now let's talk about something really disgusting. Where do 8 million children vanish to every year?
Yes, exactly.
Now, here's something that should have been reported on the front cover of the New York Times and wasn't. 2011, it was exposed that the Catholic Church was responsible for trafficking 300,000 children in Spain alone. Infants, right out of the womb, literally. And how they did it is they had a whole plan set up with doctors and with nurses and women who delivered, and this is all over the course of 50 years, certain women who delivered certain babies that met certain categories, that those women were told that their babies died after birth. I'm sorry, but you've lost your baby. It passed away. Meanwhile, that child was trafficked, and some of them were put up for adoption and sold for very good money across Europe. And the Catholic Church was involved in this right from the beginning. Why didn't that make headline news? Three.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
From your family, you're adopted. You wish you know who your original family was. You find out, and then you find out that the church kidnapped you. What was the money value involved in that? Let's say $10,000 a child times 300,000. Do the math, and that's only in Spain.
Yeah,
one country.
More, I mean, we don't know.
The Vatican controls or owns and controls over 2,000 children's homes and orphanages around the world. The supply of children is endless, and yet kids are kidnapped across the United States every day to the tune of 500,000 vanishing. It's actually close. There's about 750 to 800,000 children that are kidnapped. About 250,000 are recovered or found dead or alive. Most of those that they find were taken by other family members. However, the 500,000 kids every year that vanish with no trace, where do they go? So what cold-blooded reptilian creature is dealing with these most innocent of children, the most innocent of society, in such a demonic, hateful way as even to sacrifice some of them to alien gods? Think about it. So that's where we are. Now here's the thing. The reptilian seed has to be exterminated. That's what this is all about. The whole paradigm shift and everything that's going on, they need to be exterminated. And that's what all the biblical prophecy is about. Exterminating the reptilian seed.
Now, would you say that this is based on Revelation 12, the war in heaven? Is this something ongoing, or is this something that has occurred in the past and will occur again? What are your thoughts on that?
Revelation 12 happened somewhere 1913, 1914, about a little over 100 years ago. How do we know this? Because there's a condemnatory message for the earth. We read that war breaks out in heaven and Michael and his angels battle with the great dragon and its angels, but it does not prevail, and there is neither room and there's no longer room found for them in heaven. And it says, so down to the earth they will cast. And the dragon drags a third of the stars with him. The stars are very powerful interdimensional beings. They would be of watcher class. And stars are referred to also, you have the star that falls from heaven in Revelation chapter 9, which is given the key to the pit of the abyss. Alien technology coming to earth. And that's pretty much what happens. Now, how do we know when it happened? Historians will tell you that 1914 was a change in history. We got our first world war. What does the prophecy say about the earth? Woe, woe, woe for the earth. The devil has been cast down to you, having great anger. Why? Knowing he has a short amount of time. Okay, we got World War One. Officially, about 20 million people died during World War One, and about another 20 million people died from the influenza. Except that the Spanish influenza, which happens at the end of World War One, is grossly underreported, and it may have caused the deaths of well over 100 million people on the planet, because places, remote areas which broke out in the flu were never recorded. So the official number stands at 20 million. But let's take a look at the 20th century. Because with all the wars and all of the regime changes and all of the issues that they have caused, approximately 1 billion people, I'll repeat that again, 1 billion people have died on planet Earth as a result of wars, governmental upheaval, regime changes, and all of the fallout that those things cause. 1 billion people, almost 20% of today, about 15% of Earth's population today. Imagine if a billion people on the planet just all of a sudden died this year.
Yeah, that would be just completely devastation.
Yeah. And yet the prophecy says that 2/3 are as good as dead.
So you wouldn't say that there is an ongoing, I would say, spiritual war going on right now?
Noticing, or here's what we're literally seeing, okay? We are literally seeing a division. Remember I said there was a time split, or there was a rift in our timelines, to be more exact.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what's happening? What do we see happening across the country, but especially East Coast, West Coast, and Middle America? Let's focus on Washington. We watched a president who he changed his political affiliation from Democrat to Republican and then ran for president. He winds up being elected. Nobody expects him. He's not part of the political establishment. He's a total new face. He's a businessman that has no connections to any of these other people. and the politicians hate him. Especially the long-term career politicians hate his guts. Mm-hmm. And so you've got a polarization of America, because some people absolutely hate the president and some people absolutely love the president. Why? Because they feel that the president is going to make America great again. Bring that power back to America. Make the middle class as opposed to something non-existent. Because let's face it, the middle class was on the brink of extinction here. It was the poor and the rich, and that's it. Middle class wiped out. It's the middle class that carries the weight of every society. That's why they created it during the Dark Ages. It's actually the Knights Templar. Because of what the Knights Templar did, they created the middle class of society back in the latter days they created the Renaissance. Because the average person now had money in their hands. They became merchants. And so they knew how to use the banking system and how to get loans and start businesses. And the middle class came about. But now it's been destroyed because we all wound up working for companies that offered great benefits. And then those companies closed down. They didn't need us anymore. Run by cold-hearted reptilians that don't care whether you're going to lose your house to the bank, whether you could feed your family, or anything of that nature. That's your responsibility. But now let's get back to Washington. Aren't these elected officials supposed to be representing the people? And who hates the president? Let's see. Homosexual, lesbian, I don't know what sex I am. I can't get out of my mommy's basement to go to work and find a job. Snowflake individuals who think everything should be handed to them people.
Right.
The people in Hollywood who have been committing atrocities with children who don't want to be exposed or found out. Those sexual deviants. You know what I find? I came across this just yesterday. Family Guy, great children, a great viewing for kids is what it said. Kids, interesting, little goats. Great viewing for kids. When Family Guy first came out, it was showing on Adult Swim after 11 o'clock with a disclaimer.
Yeah.
You could only see it on one channel after 11 o'clock and with a disclaimer. And then it became, I actually went through the TV listings back when I had TV. I went through the TV listings, all the different channels. This was like about 5 years ago. You could watch Family Guy 13 times starting from about noontime during the day. So all these kids that are home, you know, at noon, little kids, don't go to school. The ones that are home after school. Yeah, you could watch Family Guy 13 times in one day. Not every day, but on some days. And so what was basically a banned adult TV show is now great viewing for children.
Right.
Where did our morals fall into the pit?
And it seems that Hollywood is great at doing this type of stuff. I mean, the occult symbolism, the sexualization of children, I mean, they are all about this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And so they've stripped out the morals of America. Everything that they promote goes totally contradictory to scripture, but not just to scripture, to the ways this country was founded, and that's the truth. You know, just think of trying to get some of the things that they put through the set, that they get past the censors today. Think about trying to get that past the censors in the 1970s or even the 1980s, even the 1990s. Think about trying to show Family Guy. Yeah. Yeah. Think about trying to show Family Guy in the 1990s, primetime TV. You'd never get that past the censors.
Yeah. Yeah. The morals have just dropped dramatically in the past few years.
Yeah, and you know, everybody loves The Simpsons, right? I love Family Guy Meets Simpsons. There's this interlude between Peter and Homer, which gets very homosexual as they're washing the car. You know, it's like, seriously, this is what you're showing our kids? And The Simpsons are, you know, they're going to season number 30 now, is it? So essentially, three generations of children have grown up on The Simpsons, if you want to figure a generation of 10 years. No, you go with 20 years, a generation and a half have all been indoctrinated by Homer, Marge, Bart, Lisa, and the little one that doesn't talk, Maggie.
Right. Yeah, and it's gotten worse over the. I mean, it wasn't anything like this 10 years ago. You know,
they're yeah,
everything in Hollywood and making it just more moral and immoral and just kind of lowering everybody's natural vibrational frequencies.
You know, the great things, you see, if God doesn't exist and Jesus was a Buddhist monk, then everything's good. You see, we don't have no repercussions. Nobody has to worry about, oh, you're going to burn in hell. You know, we don't have to worry about things like that. God doesn't exist. We can go do what we want. We got enough money. We can go have sex with kids and we can turn around and pay people to shut up. And we can intimidate other people, and we can start our own funds and foundations, and people donate us, you know, give us money, provided we can give them government secrets and things like that. Yeah, you see, that's all reptilian, cold-blooded. I don't care about the general public. May you all burn in hell. Those are the people, the reptilians, that are leading us now. And now, who are their supporters? Who are their supporters? Who vote the people in that have turned around and raped this country? You see, is that the serpent seed? Yeah, that's the serpent seed. And so this is the rift that we're seeing. It's even being told, it was even foretold in prophecy, the separation of the wheat and the weeds, the separation of the sheep and the goats. May your little kids have fun. You know, great viewing. Go watch Family Guy, little kids. You know, that's where this separation is. And so you've got people that still want to hold on to the morals of America, the foundation that this country was set upon, to have some sort of respect for each other and some sort of protection of our liberties. And you've got those who want to turn us into a socialized country where everything's paid for them at our expense, where the government gets to make all the rules and we have no say. Or worse, the country gets taken over by a radical religion that induces its laws because we guaranteed them freedom of religion and speech. You see, so anyway you look at it, we've hit critical mass, and we're just talking about society. We're talking about a definite observation. I mean, we can see this. There's no doubt about it that the lefties and those people who we'll call middle America, who are probably the vast majority of the listeners of this show, all of the people that are listening to this show, or I should say the vast majority of the people that are listening to this show, are probably part of the woman seed. Because these words are hated by the serpent seed. They can't stand words of truth. It hurts their ears. Huh. Yeah, the best weapon we have this day and age is the truth. You want to beat the tar out of somebody? Start telling them the truth.
And you see, you see many people waking up to the truth, and you also see the other half of people who are de-evolving. And with all the major changes going on right now with the earth and society and everything, where do you see us going in the next 5 or 10 years? And I thought we'd end on this.
Well, as I said, we're in this rift, this time rift, dual timelines. I like to think of it as being on the Titanic. And I'll give you, the Titanic is a great analogy in so many different ways. But everybody gets on the Titanic, this unsinkable ship, guaranteed not to sink. It's the biggest thing on the planet that goes across the ocean. It'll never sink. And so people get on this boat, and they're thinking of their voyage from Great Britain to America, and how that this is the maiden voyage, and all the people, when they get there, there'll be all sorts of fanfare and everything. There's some of them are starting new lives, and some of them are going to go visit relatives that they haven't seen for who knows how long. And so off they go, and they're on the unsinkable Titanic, and lo and behold, it hits an iceberg. and it starts taking on water. But it's unsinkable, right? We don't have to worry. But then there's a call for lifeboats. Now, some people say, you know what? This is a boat. No boat is unsinkable. They're calling for lifeboats. I think that it's best that we get in the lifeboat. And so they go to where the lifeboats are being loaded, and there's not a whole lot of people around because it's the first call for lifeboats. And, you know, you and your family get in the lifeboats along with some other families, and they nobody else is around. Okay, they lower the lifeboat in, you start going away. Well, when it becomes more obvious that this ship is going down, and now there's not enough lifeboats, panic starts in. The people who heeded the warning first, who said no ship is unsinkable, got in the lifeboats, and their timeline, while changed, did continue on their way, and they did make it to America. While the people who didn't heed the warning watched their timeline come to an end in a most terrifying and gruesome way. The good thing is that they didn't suffer very long, because the icy waters would have killed them within minutes. So that's basically where we are. Now, how long is this all going to take? The church is having a time of it. The Pope is deciding that, oh, maybe he doesn't want to be Pope anymore, and he's talking about retiring. I wonder if it has anything to do with every bishop in Chile stepping down because of the child sexual rings that are going, networks, as to quote them, the vast child trafficking network in Chile, which these bishops no longer want to be part of. And so they resigned their post. Every bishop in Chile resigned their post. And now the Pope's talking about retiring. Why? I wonder if it has anything to do with Trump, with the executive order that Trump put into law regarding human rights, child trafficking, human trafficking, and conspiracy. Because now all those involved in this can have their assets seized. First blocked, then seized. And so not just people, but organizations could find their assets blocked and then seized. Sorry, Bishop, you've committed a grave sin against humanity. You've raped X amount of kids. We're taking this parish's property. Thank you very much. And you see, that's a quick way. You want to know how to take down an empire, a religious empire? Ask a child. Ask the children and let them speak, those who were mistreated by the church, and watch how fast religion will crumble on this planet. Now, there were a couple of dates that I said back in 2010 that we had to be careful of or watch for, and we're going to deal with just one of these dates right now, 3/13/13. 3/13/13 was the day that the world got an illegal pope. Pope Francis Petros Romanos, the last pope of the church. Maybe, we'll see. But he started doing something which looked like it was the start of the start of Revelation chapter 11. Was he started cleaning up the Vatican. If you remember, he went after the Vatican Bank, started cleaning out all the corruption there. He passed several different proclamations. And most interesting, in October of 2013, October 2nd to be exact, he passed a 41-page treatise, which was the backbone for the post-2015 development agenda. We can do a whole show on that. So the Pope was trying to clean up the house. Now, what does it say in Revelation chapter 11? Well, this is a measuring of the temple. John is given a reed to measure the most holy and the holy. However, he's told to don't. Now, if we go back to the Jewish temple, only the most high priest was allowed in the most holy. All the priests could go into the holy, but that was it. Only Jews were allowed to enter the courtyard. For a goyim or non-Jew to enter the courtyard was a death-dealing offense. Was not allowed. But here, within the prophecy, the courtyard is being given to the nations to trample down. Now, the time period associated with this is two periods of time, which add up to 7 years. Two 3.5 periods of time. Obviously, we're in the second 3.5 year period of time. And what do we see happening? The exposing of what is called the deep state. How did the deep state get installed? Every president from Ronald Reagan has been controlled by the Vatican. Ronald Reagan, George Bush Sr., Bill Clinton, George Bush Jr. were all Knights of Malta, and Barack Obama, Obama Nation, was controlled by the Knights of Malta. He had a letter of endorsement from the Knights of Malta. And so the deep state got planted. Since 1980 till 2016, the Vatican had control of the White House. 2016, Trump comes in. Now, remember I told you earlier about Israel being captured by Babylon?
Yes.
Okay. They were in captivity for 70 years. And you know who released them? It was King Cyrus that defeated Babylon. And so if we have the church, which is the modern day Babylon the Great, the whore of the Sumerians there, and that have carried on Babylonish religion or Sumerian religion, because it's where all religion goes right back to Samaria. I don't care whether it's a religion that's found in South America or one that's found in Far East Asia, or whether it's Catholicism or Christianity, they all have their roots in ancient Samaria. Jesus never came to start a religion. He talked about a government, a kingdom. It had nothing to do with religion. He was Jewish. He was a Hebrew. He already had a religion. However, he said, I came to fulfill the law, not replace it. In other words, he wasn't replacing the Mosaic law with new law. Let's go back to the 70-year time period. So so Babylon has Israel in captivity for 70 years. Wasn't it just the 70th year anniversary of the creation of the State of Israel?
Right.
And you know what happened on November 10th, 2016. The Sanhedrin, the high Jewish court of Israel, asked President-elect Trump and President Putin to share the role as Cyrus and rebuild the temple. Now, King Cyrus defeated Babylon. If Israel is going to rebuild the temple of Solomon, they're going to want to do it on the original temple ground, and it is not what is called the Temple Mount. The temple grounds were next to what is called the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount was where the fort was for the Roman garrison that occupied Israel at the time. Archaeologists have proved this now. But guess who owns all the land around the Temple Mount? Every piece of real estate around the Temple Mount is owned by the Vatican. And so the Vatican, or Babylon the Great, has essentially Jerusalem under siege. So if they want to build the Temple Mount, guess who they have to buy the land from?
Right.
Yeah, isn't that an interesting correlation?
Very interesting.
Yeah, so after 70 years, you see, Israel is captured by Babylon the Great, and they can't rebuild the temple until what happens? Babylon is defeated. And now's the 70-year time period. And Israel calls on Trump and Putin to step forward and make it so that they could rebuild their temple. Let's see. The greater Cyrus. Cyrus was the one who brought down Babylon. After 70 years of captivity in the first century. Interesting thing. In the year 70, who turns around and lays siege to the city of Jerusalem, and after 90 days raises it to the ground, killing 2 million and taking 90,000 captive back to Rome? General Titus. So I don't care which way you want to play, but after 70 years, in 70 CE, Jerusalem is destroyed by the Roman armies, the same people who have the city surrounded today. So how do you want to slice it, Rome or Babylon? Both of them destroyed the temple. See how those correlations start to come about?
Right, yeah.
And so now we've got the Vatican, which plays both parts of Sariamis, Babylon, the horror of false religion. And we've got the Romans who laid siege to Jerusalem in, to begin with. Now, what has been this whole thing that the, that has been going on in Washington, D.C.? Oh, Russia collusion. Russia collusion. Don't talk to the Russians. It's Russia collusion. There is no collusion. There's no collusion between Trump and Putin. Why don't they want Trump and Putin to talk? Think about that. Well, if Trump and Putin were tapped on to rebuild the temple, they're going to have to talk sooner or later, right?
Right.
So keep them from talking, and then you delay the exposing of what's... You see, if they can take down Trump, all of this, of what is being exposed about the deep state and Pizzagate and the Podestas and Uma Abedin and Jeffrey Weiner with his insurance policy laptop, which has got some pretty horrific things on it. Yeah. You see, all that would just go away. It would just go away. But now it's all being exposed. And so here we have it. And so we're going to watch Babylon the Great get destroyed. And we're going to watch Putin and Trump step forward. And then Israel will rebuild its temple. And we will see the fall of religion as we know it. And so we're right there on the cusp. All the deck has been shuffled and the cards are being dealt. And that's what we see going in Washington. Even yesterday I read Comey wants to cop a deal. He wants to turn state evidence for immunity. He wants to squeal on everybody, the little pig. He wants to squeal on everybody so he is protected. Interesting, huh? Right. The songbirds are about to start tweeting. And so here we go. Strap on. Yeah. We're how far? This is 2018?
Yeah.
The Pope came into power 5 years ago. 7-year time period. 2 years left. Do the math. 2020, hello, 2020 presidential elections that we'll never see, because the world will be in too much turmoil by then. Religion destroyed. That also includes Sharia law for all our Islamic friends who want to impose that on us.
Now, how far do you see us being reset back? I mean, are we talking 1800s or the Stone Age? Is there going to be, you know, complete unrest?
No, because what's going to happen? There's all these snowflake people, lefties, that have no clue. All the reptilian seed will fight among themselves and they'll kill each other off. Take a look at the biblical account of the Assyrians who came up against it, the southern two tribes. And Israel went out to, you read the account, it was women and children first, and they were all sent out by the prophet to go up to this high cliff area, and they were supposed to be playing tambourines and singing. The men and the army was in the back. And when they got to this huge precipice and they looked down at the Assyrian army and their allies, they were killing each other. Discord had broken out among them and they started fighting each other to the last man. Think about that. And so Israel never had to raise, never had to throw a stone, never had to fire an arrow, never had to throw a spear. They watch their enemies defeat themselves. So those people who are of the woman's seed will bring things to mind like the greatest commandment, to love Yahweh your God with your whole heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as you do yourself. We're starting to see this already with communities coming together, survival communities. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of survival communities. I'm a bigger fan of finding a community in which you can survive in and prosper in. Get out of the city. Get to more rural areas and become as self-sufficient as possible while the system is still chugging along. We still have time. The big thing is not going to be, you know, the earth is going to be here till time indefinite. But the big thing is going to be this Nibiru or brown dwarf star, Planet X. It's essentially a giant magnet, which is going to go past us. It's going to create some pretty hectic things here on Earth. But this was the same time as the Exodus. And when we look at the Exodus, there was obviously extraterrestrial involvement at that point. So we're going to see extraterrestrial involvement again. And according to the scriptures, it's after Nibiru or Planet X passes that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords shows up to judge the nations, destroy the satanic empire, and set us free, and give us advanced technology so we can go on into the rest of the 21st, 22nd, right on up to the 3000th century and prosper and become healed. Because after all, we are children of God.
So you think the woman's seed will prevail over the serpent seed?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The serpent seed is a cancer upon this planet. And if you want to know the truth, they intend to exterminate us. Hence, you have the UN Agenda 21. Interesting timing. 2021. They want to exterminate us. Yeah, amazing that that's going to backfire.
Yeah.
So, yeah. If this Nibiru type event happens, go read the Colburn Bible. You can find it online. Read chapter 3 through, and that'll give you a good explanation of what to expect.
All right. Well, Peter, we can find you, what is it, Tuesday nights on the L&M Radio Network?
Yes, indeed. The L&M Radio Network, Tuesday nights, 7 o'clock. We're actually the fastest growing internet radio network on the planet. We are quickly becoming, if not have already achieved, number one, and I'm so happy to be part of that. We've got some great lineups. Tuesday night, I start, 7 o'clock, it's myself and Dr. Jason Rand. We do the final countdown, and then late night in the Midlands, and then Heather Wade comes on with her program, which I believe is Midnight in the Desert. So it's an excellent lineup, and there's a lot of fantastic, great information there. You can also reach me at my email, one@peterkling.com. Our shows are archived on my website, which is peterkling.com, and you can get a copy of Letters to Earth in PDF form there for a $5 donation, or you can go to barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com, or your local bookstore and request it. And the book is Letters to Earth, The Future is Yours. And we have a fantastic future. We're going to go through a paradigm change. We're going to be knocked back to off the grid. Now, that's one of the reasons I moved off the grid, or at least headed in that direction. We have an off the grid building project going on. And we are becoming as self-sufficient as possible. And if you're living off the grid, guess what? When the lights go out, you'll never know the difference.
Right.
Yeah. It's funny, though. There was a power outage in town last year, and we didn't know. The town was out without electricity for about 3 days because of a bad storm that came through. It didn't bother us. We just kept on doing our thing.
Oh, yeah. That must be nice.
Yeah. When you're, you know, because we were prepared to live there without electricity. Yeah. Not that we made our own at that juncture, you know, so, and you know, you made what you needed. It was direct current instead of that 60 HC alternating stuff, which isn't good for our brains to begin with, yet that's what we wire our house with. So it's all about becoming self-sufficient, and we really do have a fantastic future. We're going to go into a healing process, and Earth is only the beginning. Remember, we're children of God, and accept that. It's just that easy, because we do have God-given powers. We're creators. We can create our future. And once again, Letters to Earth, The Future is Yours. Thank you very much for having me on, Chris.
All right, thank you. I'm going to leave links to everything in the description box. Thank you again, Peter. We'd love to have you back on, and you have a great night.
Thank you. You too. Love and blessings to all our listening audience.
Okay, good night.